Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. In our lesson today, lesson number 26 in the book of Genesis, we, of course, are continuing the story of Abram, and our teacher, Connie Stampfel, is here with us. Hello, Connie.
Hi, Amy.
What are we going to be looking at today?
Well, we're going to have a dramatic instance where Abram actually needs to go and rescue Lot.
All right. And many of you are familiar with this story, but you might not be familiar with the fine details. So I'm going to start in Genesis 14 and the first 24 verses there we'll be covering today. And here we go. This is the first part of it. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, these kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, and all these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year of Chedorlaomer, the kings who were with him came and defeated Rephaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, the Zuzim of Inham, the Emim in Sheveh-Kerithaim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir, as far as El-Paran, on the border of the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En-Mishpah, that is Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Malachites, and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon-Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, went out, and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits, and as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled into hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions and went their way.
Thank you, Amy. So here we find that Abram's nephew Lot is in deep trouble because he's been taken captive by the 4 kings from the east. And that was the political climate of that day. They had city-states and kings and alliances of people. And so we had 5 cities on the eastern side of the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, where some kings lived, and they had to serve and pay tribute to this Chedorlaomer. And then they rebelled in the 13th year. And so Chedorlaomer goes on the battle plan, and he comes through that whole area going on what's called the King's Highway, going down the Jordan Rift Valley, and conquers various peoples. And he comes around the bottom of the Dead Sea. And then at the bottom of the Dead Sea in this valley of Siddim, where the tar pits are, the bitumen pits, they have a battle. And the king of Sodom and his allies are defeated, and their cities are plundered, and Lot is captured. And so here we see already Lot's poor choice has already led to problems for him, and it's just kind of the political climate of the day. What's going to happen next, though, is Abram is going to be involved. So if Amy, do you read the next section of our chapter, please?
All right, picking up in verse 13. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram, the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshol and Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people.
All right. And so here we find that someone goes and tells Abram, because it's known that Abram is Lot's uncle. And we find that Abram already has prominence because he's called Abram the Hebrew. And so in a sense, it's talking about him being the clan leader, the prominent man of that tribe of people. And here for the first time in Scripture, we find the term Hebrew. And that's based again on Eber, which we had back in Genesis 11, and knowing who one of those sons of Shem was. But we find that Abram acts, and up to date, you know, he hasn't done any military maneuvers or tried to possess the land by force. But because of Lot's danger, his peril, Abram takes plan and goes out and does what needs to happen. And so we find that he has some allies, some people that he's gotten to know in this area, and they're going to go with him. And then we find out that Abram has 318 trained men, which means they're trained for war, which means they're able fighters. And so we find Abram traveling over 100 miles up to Dan and overtaking these other kings by night and being victorious. And we find, I really believe, this must be God's intervention, because these four kings from the east have done great damage and they've conquered all kinds of people, but Abram, with a fairly small group, is going to overtake them and defeat them. And then he pursues them as far as Damascus, which is more than another 100 miles, and he brings back all of the captured goods and people, and he has a great victory. But ultimately, again, it's God's victory, because God is the one who's protecting and providing for Abram. So here we have the next part is set up, and we find out that Abram has been victorious and the people come back. We have a little bit more in Genesis to read, and then we can talk about the rest of the chapter.
All right, picking up in verse 17. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the Valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of the God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, professor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, professor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me. Let Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre take their share."
All right, and so this is the aftermath of that battle. We find two kings coming to meet Abram. One is the king of Sodom, and we'll talk about him in a minute. And then the other one is this mysterious king called Melchizedek, king of Salem. And a couple of things we need to understand is, one, Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And Salem actually is related to the Hebrew word shalom, or peace. And so this king is both a king of righteousness and a king of peace. But he's a high priest of El Elyon, of God Most High. And so we find that in the land at that time, not only Abram was a worshiper of God, but also this Melchizedek. And we're going to find in Scripture in the New Testament, this is going to be brought up again. And Jesus Christ is actually going to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Interestingly enough, in Genesis, we've noticed how we keep hearing about the origins of people and their descendants and who their father was and all of those things. And Melchizedek is really mysterious, because we don't know anything about his origins. And ultimately, I think it's because he's a type of Jesus Christ. He's a model of who Jesus Christ is going to be. And we're going to see that as we go through this, because one, Melchizedek came out to meet Abram. He brought bread and wine. He blessed him. He blessed him in the name of God, possessor of everything. And it's a beautiful thing, and we know that if someone blesses someone else, you actually have to be the superior to be able to bless someone. And so Melchizedek is assuming a position of authority over Abram. And then in return, Abram receives that blessing, and he gives to Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils of the victory, which means he's honoring Melchizedek. And it's going to, we're going to remember throughout the rest of Scripture that Israel was called to give a tenth or a tithe to the Lord. And so we find Abram, who is going to be the descendant of Levi and the Levites and the the priesthood of Aaron, is already blessing a priest who is, in a sense, higher or superior to that. And the writer of Hebrews is going to explain that to us. But very interesting Old Testament story that's figuring actually what Jesus Christ is going to be doing for us. And so We're going to read a section in Hebrews, which is going to help us understand how this fits together with the rest of Scripture and how Jesus is our high priest.
Starting in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness, and then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils."
All right. And so what a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ and what he's going to do for us. In the assignment, there's another passage in Hebrews to read when you can learn more about Jesus, our great high priest. To finish this story here in Genesis, though, we find that the king of Sodom comes to Abram, and he acts a little bit differently than Melchizedek. I think he's surly. He says, give me the people, and you can have the goods. And knowing that Sodom is a wicked place, I would guess that the king of Sodom is wicked also. And Abram's response is interesting because he says, I've taken an oath to God Most High. I'm not going to take even a sandal strap or a thread from the victory spoils. And really what Abram is saying is, I'm not going to be dependent on you. I am not looking to you to make me wealthy. I don't need anything from you. I'm trusting God to meet my needs. Mm. And I believe this was a test for Abram, and he passed this very well because he understood God was the one who gave him the victory, and God was the one who's going to keep his promises to Abraham. Yeah. And may we also see that in this life, God is the one who's the giver of every good gift to us.
Amen, Connie. Thank you so much for this lesson today. Ladies, again, the notes you'll find on our website, naomistable.com, under the Bible Studies tab. We'll take a little break and be right back to talk more about this.